The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does the Holy Spirit have to draw a person before the gift of eternal salvation can be given? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got one of those questions that's keeping you up at night, I hope you'll send it our way through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's get to some questions. Let's see. I do not know the names. It's just an email, but it's short and sweet.
Okay.
My pastor says, you cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws me. Does that mean I can't just right now, without any drawing, just believe 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and be saved? That Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose from the dead? Please explain.
Well, there are several areas of confusion. In the first place, it sounds like he already believes that Jesus died and rose again.
Right.
If that's what the saving message is, then he's already been drawn and he's already born again.
Yeah.
However, there's no scripture that says if you believe Jesus died and rose again that you're born again. Certainly 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 doesn't say that. Actually, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 11 is a primer on the importance of the resurrection in the Christian life, and verse 2 uses a present tense salvation, and it says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
Right.
And so the point in verse 2 is that the gospel message that Jesus died and rose again is a message we must cling to our entire Christian lives, or else our sanctification will be sabotaged.
Right. Now, in contrast to a lot of people would say, this is how you're saved at all. You know, you kind of get this initial salvation, but if you want to get final salvation, you have to believe this and cling to it your whole life.
Right.
And you're saying that's true, but if it's true about sanctification. It's
right.
Not true about being born again at all or something.
Right, because being born again is final the moment you believe. In other words, there's no such thing as I'm saved now, but I have to hang on to stay saved or to have final salvation.
Right.
I'm finally saved the moment I believe. And according to John 3:16, I'm born again by believing in Jesus for the everlasting life that he promises.
Right.
So the cross and the resurrection is certainly a vehicle to get me to believe in Jesus for everlasting life.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, that explains why the promise of John 3:16 is true. However, there are millions of people on earth today who believe Jesus died and rose again who don't believe that simply by faith in Jesus a person has everlasting life. They don't believe John 3:16. And so that's the second part of his question. The first part is John 6:44, and maybe you should read that, Sean, but in John 6:44 it talks about drawing, and it does say what he's talking about here, but it doesn't say what his pastor is implying.
Yeah, so the question again, just to remind us, is the pastor told him you can't be saved unless the Spirit draws you, and this led this person to be confused to say, wait a second, you mean I just can't believe and be saved? I need to be drawn and believed in order for this faith to work? And so what does Jesus say? He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Now,
so there is a drawing.
There is a drawing, but what we don't see here is an indication of what percentage of people are drawn. It could be that only a small percent are drawn, or it could be everybody's drawn. This verse doesn't tell us.
It just says you can't come to Jesus, and that's usually a figure for believe in other places.
Right.
So he's saying you can't believe unless the Father who sent me draws him.
But we have the same word used later in John 12 around verse 38 where Jesus says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I would suggest that's a reference to the fact that God is drawing all.
It's verse 32.
12:32.
Yeah. I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself.
And also in John 16 verses 7 to 11, Jesus says the Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, the world is everyone.
So in answer to this question, your pastor is kind of right. You do need to be drawn. You can't believe without being drawn. But here's the good news. He's drawing everybody. Everyone's being drawn. So if you believe,
right,
it's almost certain. I mean, before you and I even existed, God in his foreknowledge knew us.
Right.
And he loved, and he sent Jesus to die. So God has already taken lots of actions on your behalf. Plus, yes, he's drawing and convicting and all that stuff.
I would also say there's a couple other things to make this more complicated. The scriptures do not indicate whether everyone who is drawn equally.
Right.
And I would say no, some are drawn more than others. When the Apostle Paul sees the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus,
it's pretty exceptional. Yeah.
That's more than probably 99.99% of all people get.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think drawing is necessarily equal. Also, I would tie John 6:44 in with another verse in Romans 3 and verse 11, where it says, "No one seeks God, no, not one." I think what that verse means, because we know, for example, from Acts 10 that Cornelius sought God, and he was an unbeliever at the time, based on Acts 11:14, and also Acts 10:44 through 48, when they received the Spirit after this time. But what I believe Romans 3:11 is saying is no one seeks God of his own initiative.
Yeah.
The only reason any of us can seek God is because God is seeking all of us. And so we're able to respond. You have a verse like Acts 17:11. The Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Right.
Well, we should all be Bereans.
Right.
And so I think the point is of John 6:44, no one would come if God didn't draw him, but God is drawing all, but that doesn't mean he draws all equally. All have some general drawing that takes place through the cross and through general revelation. Romans 1 tells us that what we see in creation is a witness.
Sure.
Psalm 19 says the heaven declares the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that are drawing us to Christ and to God.
I mean, family members, church, school,
absolutely.
Small groups, friends, churches.
Missionaries. Yeah.
This, by the way, I think is kind of a nice way that free grace is different from either Calvinism or Arminianism. So in Calvinism, you have this problem of Romans 3:10, and the Calvinist solution is, that means God has to predestine you for salvation, otherwise no one would ever come to faith.
Right.
And so it's a hard drawing. It's more than just drawing. It's like you've been predestined for salvation.
Well, in fact, sometimes Calvinists say this word means dragging.
Right.
Because it is used in John 21 where they drug the fish in the net to the shore.
And by the way, anyone who's ever done any fishing would never make the mistake of saying just because you're drawing a fish in means you're going to get it. You can drag it in all you want, but that fish can still snap off the line at the very end. And I think that's actually what happens in the world. God draws everyone in the world, but that doesn't mean everyone comes into shore.
You know? I have some fishing stories, if you like.
Do you? Have you ever? Yeah, you did. You went in Wyoming, right?
I was in Wyoming with Jeff Stevens, and his son was showing me how to do this, and I had two hooks on the fly fishing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if you feel a hit, just pull hard on it.
Yeah.
So I felt a hit, and I pulled hard. And I had two trout on there.
Oh.
They were little teeny things, like 8 inches long. And they both hit me in the chest. I pulled so hard, I popped those things right out of the water.
So the Arminians would say, no one can believe. And therefore, God's prevenient grace goes out and it regenerates people, not totally, but just enough so that they're able to believe again. And so God's prevenient grace gives you just a little bit of enough life to believe, because otherwise you're born totally unable. So they're actually pretty close to Calvinism, except they think this prevenient grace gives you partial regeneration. At least that's one explanation of how it works. But so the free grace position is different. You know, it's no, God is trying to woo us or drag us in, draw us in through many, many, many different ways. But we don't need to become regenerate first in order to believe. Everyone has the ability to believe already. But we do need this God initiative to be pulling us towards him in order to respond to him.
Very good point, Sean. And the other point in Scripture, it's very clear that belief is the condition of regeneration, not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's not you must be regenerated to believe. It's you must believe to be regenerated. It's also true, of course, no one would believe apart from God drawing, but God is drawing everyone.
This also reminds me, I was talking to a Lutheran fellow. They have a third view, which is a little bit different. See, Lutherans, technically, they're supposed to believe in salvation by faith apart from works. That was Luther's great discovery.
Right.
But in practice, in Lutheranism, what they typically believe. They're like, no, baptism saves you as an infant. But then baptism is what enables you to believe later on. So that kind of like it's completed almost. It's kind of like that salvation is completed. But it's a salvation you can also lose. Even though, self-contradictorily, Luther believed in absolute election. So it's like, how does that work? God elects who's going to be saved, but you can still lose your salvation? It makes absolutely no sense. And when something doesn't make sense, when something's self-contradictory, that's one of the few evidences that we have that your belief is wrong. So if you just appeal to, well, it's a paradox, it's a mystery, you're kind of closing yourself off to finding the truth because you're closing yourself off to being proved wrong. But anyways, in their view, it's not that you're absolutely predestined to believe, and it's not that you're partially regenerated by prevenient grace to believe. It's that you're baptized as an infant, and then that somehow enables you to believe. Well, that's all wrong. Each of those options is totally wrong. There's nothing about that in Scripture, but there is, yes, there's this drawing by the Holy Spirit, by the Father, by Jesus. And do you notice that's Trinitarian? The Father draws, but Jesus says, I'm going to draw all men to myself. But then also the Holy Spirit is sent to the world to convict the world of sin.
Right.
So you have the Trinity there involved in this work of drawing. But we're free to resist. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I would have gathered you together, but you were not willing.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus was doing the gathering, and that illustrates that the gathering is not irresistible.
And this pastor, this person is talking about, is clearly coming from a Calvinist bent. Calvinists, John 6:44 is like one of their key verses, and so they make a lot of hay out of John 6:44.
Yeah. Man, we're talking about hay, we're talking about fishing. Just two regular rural agrarian guys here.
Let me get this piece of hay out of my
teeth. Not at all city dwellers.
No, no.
Borrowing these illustrations we don't know much about.
I fish every day,
yeah.
Every day.
Well, we appreciate that question. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what city you're from, what station you're listening with. We'd also love to know if you're listening to the podcast through an app. We'd love to know if it's through Stitcher or iTunes or Apple Podcasts. We want to know because it just helps us focus our ministry. So we really appreciate you guys, and we would love, absolutely love to hear from you. Send us a note to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to discuss the tribulation period, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.